to happen. But I want to speak about a few things here. And this word stumble here that we see, or actually maybe fall here in the King James Version, Greek word there, I really can't pronounce that good. It might be on your sheets, teo, or however. It means to trip, to err, sin, fail of salvation, fall, offend, or stumble. That's what this word here literally means. You think about these things, about slipping or tripping or stumbling or falling. I know at work, something I hear a lot of. They always tell us we have safety meetings. And, you know, most of y'all know I work with a railroad, and it's can be a fairly dangerous job. There has been a few that lost their lives and different things. And so we always have to hear a lot about safety. And if anybody ever gets hurt anywhere on the system, no matter where they're at, with CSX, they always read it to us the next morning to make us aware of these things and try to help us stay aware. But they always mention the number one cause of injury, they keep telling us, is slip, trip, and falls. That's the number one cause of injury out there in any workplace, is that slip, trip, and falls. But I believe us as Christians, we see this many times for our brethren. We see them stumble. We see them fall. But yet, the sad thing is we never see a lot of them get right back on the right path. They never get themselves back on that right path. Because we all do stumble from time to time. I think every one of us here can say that we have stumbled at one time or another in our walk with our Lord. So we all need to know that. But I hope we all are learning from these trips and these stumbles that we may do so that we can keep from stumbling in the future and so that we can learn how to continue to let these things we're talking about here abound in us. And we can keep from stumbling if we are diligent in the task here at hand. Because many stumble and fall and never pick themselves back up. We want to make sure, and this lesson I want to go through is how do we can do these things. First thing I want to talk about is what causes one to stumble. And then how to prevent from stumbling. Or what to do if we stumble. I want us to understand these things. So this is something that we all have to deal with. We all ourselves do stumble from time to time. And we want to get where we do not stumble. We need to have these things within us where we are not. So the first thing I want us to talk about there is going to get into a lesson is what causes one to stumble. So what does cause us, one of these to stumble? And I believe the first thing is a lot of times we don't heed the warning. We don't heed the warning. Maybe someone warns you to be careful when you leave because the driveway out here had a bunch of oil on it. Most of us, I believe, would be very careful when we are leaving. Maybe even choose a different exit to go, to stay away from that oily spill. Well, we need to realize there's many warnings for us in God's Word to keep us from falling away. There's many warnings to teach us to be on guard on these things. So that's what I want us to look at here now. 2 Peter here, let's go ahead and look back into it again. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is a warning here to make sure that these things are in us and they abound so that we won't stumble. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, let's start there in verse 2 this time. It says, "And grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." We need to give all diligence. Brings this out twice to us. In verse 5 there, he said, "But also for this very reason." This reason is this world having this corruption and lust in it through here that brings this corruption. And as our brother Nathan prayed about earlier, we know that there is so much wickedness, so much sin out in this world, and continually we see this world getting worse and worse and the corruption that's out there. If we want to overcome these things, if we want to continue to stay on that right path, and where we won't let those things of the world stumble us, then we need to make sure we're doing what it says here. Give all diligence. For this reason, we need to give all diligence. And we got to add these things here to us. Verse 10 there says the same thing. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. We got to heed this warning. This is a warning here given to us. But do we take it as such? It's a warning that we need to take serious. We can think about our Peter, beloved Peter here. We know our Lord warned him about his fall. But yet, Peter stumbled being warned by Christ. We know Christ even warned him that he would deny him 3 times. Peter didn't take that as such. Well, Lord, even though everyone in here may deny you, I'm not going to deny you. Mark chapter 14, I want us to look at something here. In Mark chapter 14, verse 36, starting. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again. For their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the 3rd time and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. See, even Peter here, being warned by Christ here, that he would do these things. And then Christ even warns him to be praying here. Says that his spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yet Peter here did not take the warning as seriously as we see here. And we know Peter did eventually deny the Lord here. But Peter, we need to realize, as Peter didn't here, we can learn a lot from these things. A lot of times we're warned and we're not taking these warnings seriously. Brethren, we need to take these things seriously. We need to make sure that we are going to keep ourselves from stumbling or from falling, because many never get back up. Next thing is in that, we need to be equipped for the task at hand. We need to be equipped for the task here at hand. Many are set up for failure and a sure fall because of their sincere lack of concern to God's Word. If we have a sincere lack of concern for God's Word, then we have nothing to help keep us from falling. Then it is a sure thing that we will fall. I want us to look there in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians, I want us to look there in chapter 6. We all know here in Ephesians 6 here with the whole armor of God. But I also want to bring something here else out about this that we sometimes may overlook. In Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He tells us here to put on the whole armor of God. But I want us to look there in verse 10. Verse 10, he says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Brethren, we ain't strong enough to overcome this evil. We don't have the might to overcome this evil and this temptation out there in this world. We don't have it. Where do we get it? We get it here from our Lord. That's where we get equipment from here. We got to be strong in the Lord. We don't be strong in ourselves. We are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not our might. And that's how we get it, is by putting on this armor of God and by knowing that God has given us those things. He's given us what we need to overcome this world. But if we don't take up those things, if we don't pick up that armor, if we don't do these things that He's have us here, then we are setting ourselves up for failure. We need to be strong in the Lord. We do these things here. We know what causes one to stumble here. If we don't heed the warning, or if we're not equipped for the task, then we will stumble. This is what causes us to stumble. So how do we prevent one from stumbling here? We're going to mention here a few things to help prevent these things. Of course, the things we talked about here, we must heed the warnings in. And we must equip ourselves in the power of His mind, of God's mind. He's given us those things. We must equip ourselves with it. I can't equip myself with what I think I need so that, hey, I'm good. I can overcome those things. If I'm not equipped with what the Lord here has given me, then I'm not equipped. And that's what we must understand. But what about, have we added to our faith that we just mentioned here? We'll turn with me back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1 again. I want to look there at some things here. How it tells us that we add to our faith these things. And ask our question, have we added to our faith lately? Have we been adding anything to our faith? Let's look there again here at this verse there in verse 5. When he tells us there, for this very reason, give all diligence here. It's all diligence to do what? To add to our faith. So if we're going to add to our faith, we know we must be doing these things. We've got to get diligence in doing these things. So it says here first, we add to our faith virtue. We add to our faith this virtue. And then once we have this virtue, and we add virtue, we start adding the knowledge to it. Where do we get this knowledge? God's given us the knowledge in His Word here. But we seek those things out. We have to look to those things. So when we have this virtue, we add that to our faith, and we add this knowledge. The virtue, we add knowledge. And once we have this knowledge, it says knowledge to self-control. How can one have self-control when he has no knowledge to what he needs to have self-control over? When one has this knowledge, then he can have self-control. When one has self-control, he can have perseverance. We all want to persevere in this world. But if you don't have no self-control, there's not going to be no perseverance. We've got to have self-control over our things, realizing we are no longer ourselves. We are our Lord. We are servants to Him. We got to have control of ourselves, or we're not as the world is out there and doing anything and everything that they want to do, hold nothing back. We are not that. We have to have self-control. And then we have that self-control, we can have self-control through this perseverance. And this perseverance then, to godliness. And then to godliness, we can have that brotherly kindness. Brethren, we can't be lacking these things. We've got to have this godliness so we can have this brotherly kindness to one another. It's a joy to be around someone who truly loves the Lord and truly is a godly man and truly has His brotherly kindness. And when He has His brotherly kindness, then you can have brotherly kindness. You can have the love that we should have. So how do we have this love? It's by doing all these things, adding to this faith, all these things we just talked about. We have to continue to add these things to our faith. Brethren, these things don't come overnight. And these things just don't come because you have obeyed the gospel and you've been buried with Him in the watery grave of baptism. They don't just automatically come. We add these things to our faith. And we must be adding these things to our faith. We have to build our faith. Let's look now. I want us to look here in James. We'll turn you back to James chapter 1. Something I want to pull out here. I heard a lesson the other day in Garden City. Preacher there, young preacher, bringing out some points here I thought was really well. But in James 1, I want us to look at some things here. If we want to prevent ourselves from stumbling, we need to know these things here as well. In James chapter 1, let's start here in verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. First of all, he says, count it all joy. Count it all joy when what? When you fall into various trials. It's interesting right here though, he says, when you fall into various trials. Not if, or not in case you fall into it. When you fall into various trials. Brethren, it's a sure thing that we will fall into various trials. And it's a good thing. And we need to be able to count it joy when we do. But why is it a good thing? Because it's in those trials that the testing of our faith, or proving of your faith, you might say here, produces what? It produces patience. To know that the testing of your faith produces patience. If your faith ain't tested, then it's not producing patience. And then look there in verse 4. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. So if we don't let patience have its perfect work, then we cannot be perfect and complete in these things. But not without the testing of our faith, it can't be. Brethren, our faith will be tested. But I want us to understand this. Many stumble at the first trial in their faith, not expecting these tests to come. Brethren, every one of us in here better realize that these tests will come. These tests are going to come. So what's going to happen when these tests come? We need to let faith have its perfect work. We need to let it produce this patience here, knowing that these things are happening. We're going to have to prove our faith. Faith is, it's easy for us to serve God when everything's going right. I mean, that's a simple thing. I mean, when everything's going really good and God's blessing us and all is going well, oh, it's real easy to serve God. But it can be very hard to serve God when things turn maybe south. Things go a little bit hard. Maybe we get under pressure on some things. But brethren, that's why we have God's Word. That's why when we suit up with the whole armor of God, we can take on these things. We realize that I'm going to stand. When we've done all to stand, stand therefore with the truth girded around us, the truth of God. He's given us those things. And when it's had its perfect work, then we can be complete. Perfect and complete, as it says there. But it's not without the testing of our faith. We need to realize that. These tests are going to come. Romans 12:9, Brother Micah read this Wednesday. Romans 12:9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. I want to think about that. Abhor what is evil. We're talking about here how to prevent from stumbling. If you're going to prevent from stumbling, you better abhor what is evil. We've got to abhor what is evil and do what? Cling to what is good. We cannot entertain evil. Evil cannot, should not even be anywhere around us. It should not be in our thoughts. We cannot entertain evil. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company does corrupt those things. Most of the time we all learn, most of us have learned the hard way. If we're around evil, and we ourselves, we'll become evil. If I surround myself with ungodliness, then brethren, it won't be long that I will be producing some ungodliness myself. I cannot surround myself with evil. It is a dangerous thing. In 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it says, abstain from all appearances of evil. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Well, why do we do these things? Why? Because it's evil, and the tolerance of evil leads to apostasy. If we have tolerance of evil and we are surrounding ourselves with this evil, then it is a sure thing that we will fall away from God. We cannot have this evil in our minds. We cannot surround ourselves with evil around us all the time. Now, we are in the world. We're going to have things in the world. But we learn that we do not have part of those things. We are different. We are to be pure and undefiled. Always another thing they tell us at work. They always tell us to never put our feet where our eyes haven't been to help prevent those slip, trips, and falls we're talking about. To never put our feet where our eyes haven't been. Well, let us think about the same thing. We should never let our minds ever think on things evil. They should never be thinking on those things as evil. Because where our mind thinking on those things, it will destroy us. That evilness that we think about, as a man thinking in heart, so is he. That evil will destroy us. Brethren, we don't even entertain the thought of evilness. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's what we're to meditate on. That's what we're to think on. Brethren, I know we're looking around us and you see the things now that are Hollywood puts out and all these things pushing out, and that's what our society is seeing now. This evil now is just rampant. We're slow cooking evil all around us, but yet, brethren, we should not be. Us ourselves should not be slow cooked in evil. We should be abhorring what is evil. That's a strong hate word towards those things. We are to not hate those things that are evil. We don't want no part of it. But yet if we surround ourselves in those things, we're setting ourselves up for a great fall. 1 Peter 4. If you want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter 4, starting in verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of God and of God rests upon you. On their part He is blasphemed, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for the judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. Brethren, if we suffer, let us suffer for doing good. Let us suffer for doing the will of God, not doing evil. So what do we do if we do stumble? My last point. As I always mention here, I know we all have stumbled at one time or another. But yet we want to learn from those things. We want to become better where we do not stumble. And we talked about how Peter stumbled. But did Peter stay down? I want to bring this point up a while ago, but I waited till here. Did Peter stay down? Absolutely not. Peter picked himself back up. He became a great servant of God to his death. Proverbs 24:16, for a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. The righteous man may fall 7 times, but he rises again. But the wicked will fall in that day of calamity. Peter picked himself back up. I love the point about it. The Bible's always bringing in. We see where a lot of good men has failed. And I'm glad we have those examples in the Bible. Because we see when they did fall, that they fixed those things. And us as fathers, we need to realize that we make mistakes, our children make mistakes, but yet we need to be showing our children and showing other brethren that when we do fall, when we do stumble, that we pick ourselves back up, we fix those problems, and we are striving hard to be that servant of God that He'll have us to be, and we are stronger from it. Because we are going to fall. As our children, we see our children going to fall. We might fall and stumble, but we need to fix those things. And we need to become one who's added all these things to us so that we will not fall. We must learn how to correct those mistakes and move on. I want us to look at an example here of David. This is a man after God's own heart. Did he ever stumble? Oh, did he ever, we could say. He stumbled. I want us to read there in 2 Samuel. Oh, we'll just follow along with me or listen to me here. But 2 Samuel chapter 12, starting in verse 1. It says, then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich man and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man and said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. David's furious. David's ready to kill this man now. But look here what Nathan says. And he also says there, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me, and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives from before your eyes, and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of his son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. It just takes great courage here just from Nathan here to be able to speak up to the king this way. To speak the word of God, it took great courage here for Nathan to go. David could have put him to death there for speaking those things. But he boldly spoke the word of God to David here. But I want to bring out a point here. It was David's attitude. What was David's attitude? He done all these things in secret, but all these things now have been brought out. But David's attitude says, I have sinned against the Lord. Did David rise again after his great fall? Absolutely. Look down at verse 20. Jump on down to verse 20. The last verse I'm going to look at. So David arose from the ground, and this is after the child now has died. He has arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Brethren, that's very important. He picked himself back up. David knew he sinned. He admitted it. He said, I have sinned against the Lord. And he's paid for those sins. When those sins here come, there was consequences for those sins. But we see David picking himself back up. Picked himself back up off the ground, washed and anointed himself. He changed his clothes and he went to the house of the Lord. And why? To worship Him. The Lord is worthy of our worship. Brethren, if we stumble, how do we react? How do we react from a stumble? This is a great stumble. This is a great, terrible thing here that David has done. A man that was after God's own heart, who turned from God and let himself become overtaken by this sin. But yet, when it was brought to his intention, he repented of those things, and now he's back worshiping the Lord. How do we react from a stumble? The conclusion of the matter, I want us to all realize, now that we know what causes one to stumble, we need to be careful of those things. Let's make sure we do not stumble. We are told from God's Word how to prevent from stumbling. Let's heed that warning. And we know what to do if we are to stumble. We have to pick ourselves back up as David did here, and we have to continue to faithfully serve Him to the end. When to get nothing else from this lesson, we need to realize when we stumble, there's a way to fix that stumble. We can correct those things. We can get ourselves back on that right path. We can continue to be a servant of God, but we cannot continue in sin. But brethren, we need to learn not to stumble. God's Word has given us those things. We can learn to become better. We can add to these things we talked about. We can add to our faith these things. Brethren, let's add them to our faith. Let's build our faith. And let's be the servant that God would have us to be. Brethren, I hope I've encouraged you this morning from God's Word here. There's many things that we can take from this lesson, and I just hope we'll take some things from it so that we can become a better servant for God. We can become a better body of Christ here in this area for our Lord. And we can all have that brotherly kindness and that love that we need to have for one another when we add these things to our faith and become more godliness as we should. But there might be some here who needs prayers in the congregation. May have sin and might need prayers. What if we can help you in that? Won't you come? There might be some here who's not become a child of God yet who would like to obey the gospel. We would like to help you in that. If we can help you in any way, we want you to come now as we stand to sing. The song has been selected.